Three, two, one. It's Shazam, the podcast that hopes to make itself obsolete. I'm Kayla, and I am in the back of a tour bus. Hi, Kayla. How are you? Well, I am currently in the back of a tour bus. Just spent the entire day in Davenport, Iowa, in a Panera, doing work, which I think is the definition of success. Excited to go see some corn in the near future. You might also have noticed that there's only one voice, and it's the deeper of the two voices currently speaking to you, and that is because Carissa is performing at the Chicago Magic Lounge right now, and I am in and out of cell phone service, you know, Iowa. So we have not really been able to connect, obviously, in order to do the intro for this episode. So she did the interview, and I'm doing the intro, so we are very excited. I don't even know if it's worth really going through this next person's accolades. There are two reasons for that. One, you absolutely know him and love him, and he's been everywhere, and you are listening to this, so you probably know who this guy is. But also, I didn't look up the biography information before I started recording this. I just got excited to record, and here we are. I've seen our next guest perform a lot, and recently I saw him performing at a magic convention. I believe it was the PCAM convention. This was in Bakersfield, California. Both Carissa and I were performing at that convention, and there was just an issue with all the tech, and all this stuff went wrong, and there were kids and families and everything, and Chris basically just went out there and performed a show for as long as he needed to perform. And then when everything settled back down and we were able to go back into the theater, did it again. And he's just an amazing performer and person, really smart guy. I have seen very few magicians be able to successfully perform for both a predominantly kid audience and then a predominantly adult audience, and it's be of equal caliber. So this interview is a delight, and we hope you enjoy it. Please enjoy Chris Capehart.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Chris, for being here. I really appreciate it. We're here at the Chicago Magic Lounge, where you have been performing for 3 days.
Yes. And feels like more, though.
It does, because it's two shows a night, and you're doing really walk-around.
You guys really work here. You're not playing.
It's nuts. I've done Close-Up Magic here like a year ago, and then I've been doing Close-Up Magic here the last couple of days.
Wow.
It's so different here.
It is. It's very organized, though.
Very organized.
I like the organization.
Yeah, that's been really nice. And you also, you've been doing walk-around. You did the stage show, and you've also done a kid show today.
Right. I did a kid show today.
And you're doing shows tonight.
And yeah, I'm doing shows tonight. No, not here.
Not here.
I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm leaving half tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So you're done. So there's no...
I'm done.
Well, then why am I here tonight? I'm only here to see you.
Well, you're here to do something else. I don't know. You better perform.
What was the point? Oh, yeah. I have to do walk around. I forgot. So I've been talking to you and hanging out with you, and you have so many interesting perspectives on magic that I'd love to get into. The first one is your relationship with the visual as a magician. So you've talked a lot about, you know, you want to look like a magician. You don't just want to like walk in looking like someone else. And that's so interesting because I think that if you're doing corporate walk around, you put on a suit. You look like everybody else.
That's the secret. Yes.
So
you put on a suit.
Yeah. So how do you not look like everybody else?
But you don't want to look like everybody else when you're a magician. The word magician alone says fantastic, you know, unique, different. Wow. You know, it says, wow. You can't look wild in a regular suit, especially black.
Mm.
You wear black anything, it just takes it down. So you got to really spice that up there. You know what I mean? That's why your hair is the color.
Yeah, so I've got ridiculous purple hair.
But you spice the world up, isn't it?
Well, it's true.
No one looks at you as dull. No one thinks of you as a dull person. Because ain't no dull person would wear that. They wouldn't do it. You can't go purple, and then you go, that must be an exciting person.
Yeah, my hair is a construct that, you know, it's like a signaling, like a poisonous reptile. I'm like, don't come talk to me.
But they know.
Unless you got 10 minutes.
But they do talk to, they know. Oh, okay, yeah. She's not going to be down. It's going to be up.
Because it was interesting to see, because on stage you have this really specific, unusual aesthetic. You're dressed in slightly Asian garb, and then you've got these crazy sparkly shoes. But then you were talking about how when you do street performing, you wear a suit.
Yeah, well, when street performing, I wore more like a dashiki the first time.
Okay.
It was like more African gear at one time. Then it changed from African gear to more, I would say, not Asian, more of more like a genie.
Okay.
The outfit that I had made, everything. After that, I made one with like, not Spider-Man, but one with wings under my arms.
Mm.
So that when I put my hands up, these wings came out.
Oh, wow.
That helps stop people. They just look weird. The ideas look strange. Just don't look like your audience. They want to know the magician in the room. That's it. Just like when magicians put on a tuxedo. The reason why you put on the tuxedo is because you don't want to look like you're in a regular suit. Then they stop using tuxedos. They use different things, but variations of tuxedos. They may sparkle them up, take a red, put a stripe down the side, something. But
yeah.
You got to do something to make, you know, I mean, the Spanish knows.
Oh, very much so.
You ever see a Spanish magician?
Oh, yeah.
You can see him come across the street. Okay. He knows. That's the guy. He's the entertainer. You know, and I take my cues from Liberace.
Oh, wow. Really?
Oh, yeah. I've been taking my cues. But I take my cues from all old performers. Liberace is my favorite because Liberace shows you he's Mr. Show Business.
Yeah.
Okay. Before he touches the piano, he has extreme applause. He never even touched the piano yet. Extreme applause. Okay. Why? Because he was amazing.
He was unbelievable. Yeah. And there's something about Liberace's style as well that looks deliberate and specific and perfect.
And perfect.
But I sometimes see people at the castle who are dressed elaborately, but it's wrong.
It's a wrong type of elaborate.
It's the wrong type of elaborate. It's costumey.
No, it has to fit you.
Yeah. And it's funny because I've always thought, you know, you definitely don't want to look like your audience.
No.
But how do you not go so far in the other direction and just look like a circus clown?
Because you got to live that part. Kind
of, oh, okay.
Like Jeff does.
Yeah.
Jeff lives that part.
It's very true.
He lives that part.
Max Maven.
And I'm that same. Max Maven lives that part. See, and I'm that way too. When I'm home, you know what I'm saying? When I'm walking around in my house by myself, I have this beautiful Chinese robe that, that makes me feel so good. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I have that, and I have Chinese pajamas.
Oh.
And I have a whole room just Chinese too.
Wow. So
it's just magic.
You get it into your soul.
Oh, yeah. I have dragons everywhere and stuff like that.
Well, that's fantastic.
And my nickname on games on the internet is Red Dragon.
Ooh.
So the whole thing.
Do we need to cut that out? Is that a secret?
No. Everybody knows about it.
Okay, good.
But you live the part.
Yeah.
You just live the part. You ain't got to be extreme with the part. But no, keep it up. Keep that thing up. Like for instance, people make one mistake. They come to a place, they do a job, and they say, people want to take pictures with you, but they went backstage and changed.
Oh, yeah. You can't change.
That's a mistake.
Can't change.
Nobody wants to take pictures with that person.
They want
to take pictures with the person that was on stage. So you don't change clothes. No. You come out in those clothes so they can take pictures with you, talk to you. And you make the biggest mistake of not going out and talk to your public.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's a huge mistake. At the end of your show, let these people talk to you, meet you.
I've also seen you over the last few days, the way you are with people from your show, like the way you are with the fans. You're so generous with your time. And with your focus, like I feel like you make sure that when somebody comes to say hi, you really look at them and you ask them their name, and you're so amazingly generous with them.
That's important to keep your fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, these people came to see you. Give them something. Let them talk to you. Wow, what are you going to lose? Make them like you. I mean, when I went to a guy's house who had an old flyer I used to give out. This gave me 5 years ago. He had an old flyer still on his wall for 10 years.
Wow.
And then I work at a place called the Strawberry Festival. I did that for 25 years. And people who grew up there brought their children back to see me.
Wow.
And they did all the time. They said, when I was a kid, I came here to see you. I brought my kid here to see you.
That's amazing.
You know, if you just be friendly with them, that's all. Be friendly. But don't take it personal. Don't go crazy. just relax. It's not a big deal.
Here's the thing. I always feel like it's like this gradient and you've got to hit this perfect middle. Like even we're talking about the way you dress. You don't want to look like your public.
No.
But you don't also want to look ridiculous.
No, find something that fits you.
Yeah.
You know?
Where do you find that? Where do you start looking?
I'll tell you how I hit it. I just wanted to do the opposite of what I was.
Okay.
At that time, and I told you I'm really big on Chinese everything. That took speaking up Chinese and everything up. Matter of fact, I used to do Rosetta's Chinese language speaking, and then my son started picking it up. And then all of a sudden, I come back on my computer to put in my Chinese lesson, and it's Japanese. I went, how the hell is that? He had ordered the Japanese lesson
from
me, and now he was taking up Japanese. And I thought he wasn't serious about it, so he took it for about 3 years. Then he moved to Japan.
Oh, my goodness.
He lives there now. See? So he found something that fit.
So the answer is don't let your children learn other languages because they'll move away from you. You'll never see them again. Unless you don't like them and you want them to leave.
The answer is kids get along better after a certain age from a distance. They're wonderful. The kids are good up to like 17, but after that, what do you know?
Kick them out.
You know, kick them out, but you know, moveon.com.
One of the other things I've noticed about your performances is that your audience management skills are like it's a magic trick in and of itself. I mean, the coin routine, watching you with the kids today, you know, your show, Bibik was saying, you know, your kid's show is like sucker tricks.
Exactly.
Like the best collection of sucker tricks, but it's all for kids. And it kills. It's amazing. What would you say the secret to your audience management? Where does that come from?
Oh, I'm a granddaddy. You know what I mean? When you're a granddaddy, you learn how to play with your children. Mm-hmm. And I'm just playing with a bunch of my grandchildren. And I just look at them all as grandkids. And the same thing I used to do one thing to my grandkid all the time. I says, I'm not touching you. And she said, yeah, but you're clueless. No, I'm not telling. I'm not touching you. She said, hey, you are touching. No, I'm not touching you. And they just can play with them all the time. You start dawning me, you start playing with these kids the same way. Mm-hmm. And they want to argue. They like arguing with old people. They don't argue with young people. They don't argue with people. Now, and I say young people can't do what I do. The reason why, because they look at you as they make me more serious. Me, once you get to be a certain age or something, you look harmless and you're cool. You're a granddaddy figure.
Yeah, it's like, what are you going to do, chase me?
Right. And they know they can beat you. They know they can catch you.
No, I'll just run. I'll just run that way and you'll die.
And you can't.
You can't catch me.
Think about Hey, exactly. That's why when I look at a kid one time, I knew it was going to be funny. I looked at a kid one time and said, I'm not afraid of you. And he said, but you should be. I said, kids argue with you. They like argue with you. And then they calm right back down again. You just let them know it's okay. Mm-hmm. Let them know it's okay. That some kids, I get these kids. I was in South Africa. You get the same thing. Kids in South Africa won't argue. Oh, no. They're very respectful. They've been trained. You walk in a room, they stand up.
No, how do you do a kid show for kids?
It's very tough because these kids have been told not to ever let go of their control. Oh, wow. So you start performing for them, and they want to stop with, I can't holler at him. I can't disagree with him.
Wow.
And it gets like that right there. Later on, I found a way to get through to them and everything by talking to them in advance.
That's smart.
So I got them to understand in advance that this is okay.
This is a safe space.
It's okay. You're not going to do anything. It's okay. And everything will happen. We're just going to have some fun. Right? So you have some fun. I want you to jump up and down. I want you to enjoy yourself. You understand? Right? If you see something wrong, you think, say something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm making something wrong on purpose here. I need you to see it. You know, I've had kids, I turn this thing around and they go, no, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to tell them we turned around. I know we turned around. I'm not going to say anything.
Wow. And then there's no bit.
And then there's no bit.
Like, how do you move on?
Exactly. So I make sure that. I just make sure I egg them on the beginning. Just like with the card trick. People say, you can't do card tricks for kids. Sure, you can. Watch this kid.
But I would argue.
Yep.
I'm going to argue with you right now. It's very unpolite, but I would argue you are not doing card tricks for kids. I would argue you're doing tricks with cards because there's no pick a card.
There's no pick a card.
They're just paper.
Yeah.
You know, it could just be color.
It could be colors. It could have been anything.
It's like, what color is it? Is it blue? Where's the blue card?
And it could have been anything.
It could have been anything.
I never looked at it that way before, but you're right. It didn't matter what that was.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the card is.
That's true.
It's just a vehicle for another gotcha.
You know, the gotcha.
Kind of it.
And you want them to go for that hand. Go ahead, go for the hand. It's in the hand. Yeah, there's nothing here.
There's nothing in the hand.
There's a switch where you say, oh, it's a six. I keep saying we're a six. Where's the six? Not to say, because I want them to forget the card. Mm-hmm. So then you finally go, the six is in his hand, and that's a three. Stay in school.
Yeah, that's great.
Stuff like that.
That kid was so, it looked like he was going to hit you. He put his little fists up for a second.
That has happened.
They've hit you?
I had kicked
him. That's so funny. Yeah. Not nice, but
well,
also
I had a kid so mad, he
hilarious.
Knew he was going to win. He really wanted to win a pony. He wasn't playing. And he knew he was going to win. And when that thing turned around, he wasn't there. That rabbit wasn't there. He was, oh. Mm.
Is it mostly, because you're very combative with the kids.
Yeah.
Is the reaction that you normally get that's negative, is it normally just anger? Or have you ever had like a kid just cry?
Oh, never.
Never?
Never.
You've never had a kid cry?
Because you're too up there having too much fun. And you're acting. The way you're acting is not serious. You can tell they're not serious. You're not saying to him, sit down, kid. I'm not playing with you. You better sit down. I'm not playing with you. You know, don't mess with my show. See, that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, I'm saying, no, you didn't see that. Yeah, I did see that. You saw me turn this around. Yeah. No. See, I'm a master magician. You can't see me turn this around. It's impossible. Oh, yes, I did. Okay, I'll do it again.
I'll do it again.
See, the whole vibe is fun.
Oh, that's so great. Because I really feel like you push them right to the edge as you far want them as to they go.
To the edge. You want them to go to the edge. The best one I've ever had was the Monday Night Magic when the kid just snatched it out of my hand. And I was happy. And when he snatched it out of my hand, I was in heaven. I said, oh, good Lord. Because I knew what was going to happen next. He said, look, here's the... He went, I don't know.
Oh, that's so great. Oh,
it was so good.
Oh, that's so great.
When they do that, and that's what you really want them to do. You're trying to egg them on to grab it.
For the benefit of our listeners, which trick are we referring to?
Freddy Cat Rabbit.
So this is a Freddy Cat. I think you might have the best Freddy Cat Rabbit I've ever seen.
Well,
you finale the show with it.
I won the Senator Crown Award with that.
Oh, my God.
I won the Senator Crown Award with that, and I also won... Jeff McBride and I had an argument one time about something that was on his show that he didn't want me to do. Rings, coins, and stuff like that. And I said, hey, Jeff, I was going to do one of them regardless because I went on first.
Yeah.
This was in Vegas. And so Jeff decided at that time I could do the rings and he would do the coins and stuff like that. But when I got on stage, I looked in the audience. It was like 175 kids. On the big stage, we had like 1,250 people in the audience. And it was like at least 175 kids. So I said, I looked at the way, I went, I got a better idea. So I turned around to the audience. I said, ladies and gentlemen, I was going to do something like rings or coins, but watch this. I said, but anybody can do that. He was so hot.
It's so mean.
It was, but he was right backstage looking dead at me. So I turned around. I said, I'm going to do something else. So I invited all the kids to come up to the front. And then we did Freddy Cat Rabbit. And to like 175 kids, it was thunderous, standing ovation. It was insane. It was
that's great. So great.
And so when I came backstage, says, just that's it. He says, as far as I'm concerned, I said, you are the best. There'll never be another. And ever since then, in his class, he tells that story to people in his class.
Oh, wow.
He uses it today.
That's a huge honor.
Yeah, it was amazing. But it was a night. If it wasn't for Jeff, I would have never used that night. You know, so he actually pushed me to do something I wasn't going to do. And then that's how, the Abbott's Convention.
Yeah, of course.
But Abbott's Convention, I didn't know they had a contest there. They don't tell you.
Yeah, it's sort of secret. Your first time.
Secret. I didn't know anything about it. No one told me. I was getting ready to leave. And I was told, why don't you hang around, until the end of the night? And I said, I will get an early try, but I'll hang around. And at nighttime, when they announced the winner of the Senator Crown Award for comedy was me.
Wow.
And I went, okay, I better go find out who's Senator Crown Award.
Thank you so much for this award. I don't understand it.
That's exactly what it was. Thank you very much for this award. And why am I getting it again?
And what is happening?
They said because of the comedy that you put on with the Freddy Cat Rabbit. And 2 years later, he was selling Freddy Cat Rabbits.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's fantastic.
But it was the best thing. That was one of the greatest things I ever did.
But it's not just your audience management skills with kids. It's also with adults. Because I find there's a lot of tricks where you need to collect objects from the audience.
Yeah.
I just put the Himba Rings routine into my act.
Yeah.
It's right in the middle of my act. And I love it. And the reason it wasn't in there for many, many years, even though I'd been working on this handling, is because the phase where you collect the rings is always boring to the point of completely stalling the show.
Yeah, because you got to sit around and wait till somebody gives you this ring.
Yeah, get the right rings. And so,
It's a dead moment.
It's very dead. And come see my show, The Lounge. If you see it, you'll see how I fixed it. But I was blown away because there's a section of your show where you just collect things from the audience. You just collect objects.
In a way that makes it look like, what does he do?
It's fantastic.
What's he going to do with it?
But it's also immediate, right? There's no, here, give that to me. And then there's like a waiting period. It's just immediate. Yeah. And I saw you over and over and over again just collect this armful of things from the audience.
Money, diamonds,
super
rings,
quick.
Anything.
And it blew my mind. And it's such a testament to your
audience
control.
You're asking for a thing and you got to wait to see who's going to give it to you.
Right.
I'm not acting.
You're just pointing at stuff
I
and saying, give it to me.
Give me your watch.
Oh.
You, bracelet.
But it's even before that.
The third one, you don't say nothing. You say.
You just point.
You just point. He goes through it.
Just point and give
that's
it.
That's it. And they just give it to you.
Because it blew my mind. To me, it felt like the thing that is the boring part of everyone else's show is the whole bit in your act. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
Is that
You give them that
gag.
Look like they may get it back. And then every time you pick up something, you may say a little something like, ooh, that's a nice watch. That's very nice. Or it's heavy. Or, I don't have one of these. My wife don't have one of these.
That's great.
These little things that will help those things out.
That kind of stuff is such a testament to your audience management skills, though. Because you just, the fact that you know the third time you can just point to someone they're going to take it off.
Third time, I guarantee they're going to just take it off. I just point and go.
So where does that come from? Do you have an internal monologue running?
I have no idea what that's going from. Just do it. I think it comes from something like, I take a lot of small things from comedians, old comedians. I take my looks from Jack Benny.
Oh, Jack Benny.
When I turn around and stare at him like that, that's all Jack Benny. I take a lot of stuff from Eddie Cantor, Don Rickles. Just with the back and forth.
Yeah.
And he's
speed, the rhythm.
He said something one time in a show. He says, I can call Muhammad Ali one of the most toughest men in the world, almost anything I want, and he's going to smile about it. Why? He said, because the way I've said it. He did. He called him all these. He grabbed his head and everything else. It's Muhammad Ali. He can punch him by anything he wants. Nope. He just went along with it. I said, look at that. That is incredible. We totally control that whole situation.
How much of that do you think is control, and how much of it do you think maybe comes from this genuine? Because I feel like you're very genuine on stage. Like, nobody feels threatened by you, for real.
Yeah, right. Nobody feels threatened. That's,
you know, you're important. So comfortable, and, you know, we just can feel that you're a nice guy.
I have magicians who do one thing that I tell them not to do. Unless you actually are funny, don't try to be funny. People can tell when you're faking it.
Yeah.
They know that, and they feel it. Okay, like you laugh at something, you know it ain't funny. You know what I mean? And you get this fake laugh over there, and you keep saying, oh, and there it is. They know that's not real. You're not fooling anybody. And you're doing, and it's, they feel it. You got to wait till you actually do something. If you're not funny, don't try to be funny. Be exactly who you are. I always tell them, look in the mirror, act up, find out who are you, and then try to use that person. But don't try to be funny.
So how do you do that? I mean, that's a great piece of advice.
I think everybody knows that you knew who you were. You knew you had this inner person inside you. Because it came out somewhere along the line. That came from somewhere. Where did it come from? Because you wasn't born Lucy Dollar.
Oh, no.
And now you got this person then creeped in here that you change clothes, and all of a sudden your character comes alive. And like I told you, I showed him, and he didn't know it was the same person. It's the same person. Trust me on this one. And being a wife, there's a person in you. You got that out there. Everybody don't have it. Let's face it. Everybody don't have it. Some people, you just have to accept who you are. I mean, some people was born to drive a bus. And those are people going to drive the bus. That's it.
So how do you go about finding out who you are? Do you, an exercise I offer people often is ask your friends. Like, talk to the people who know you the best and go, hey, when you describe me, like if you were setting me up with someone, what would you say about me that isn't a lie? Like, don't talk me up. Just to tell a prospective date who I actually am.
Yeah, get some truth. Yeah. Find out who you are. Another thing is, if you don't feel like you should be a performer, then you don't. I mean, some people just feel like, I'm a performer. I want to be a performer. I'm going to be a performer. That's it. So you go out there and you try. And you try everything. You don't try one thing. You try a few things.
Yeah.
And see which one sticks.
Sometimes I think about how the whole idea of entertainment is such a weird thing. It's such a weird human construct. If you went to the North Pole and you saw a bunch of penguins, and there was like 100 penguins watching one penguin squawk, you'd be like, this is weird. You know, it doesn't seem weird because we're used to it, but it's a weird thing. And so you have to be willing. Like, I think there's something in your brain that has to be unaware of how weird it is, where you just go, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to stand there and have 120 people completely listen entirely to me.
Why is the one penguin squawking and why is everybody watching?
Yeah, why?
Because that's the Michael Jackson. That's why. Okay? That's the guy.
He's got the squawk.
He's got something going on.
His squawk is the best squawk.
Whatever it is.
The rhythm of his squawk.
Whatever it is, they're watching him.
They're watching. But I think there's a level of my brain that has just noticed. Because that's what
you
I'm doing.
You don't have a normal brain, do you?
I don't even know.
You're totally off.
I can't help it. I just like breaking normal things.
We just
came
up with the penguin analogy just now for instance.
Just now, I just came up
that's
with
the silliest thing. But it's absolutely.
But it'd be weird.
But it would be weird, but it's very interesting because I think you're right.
You look at it and go, something's wrong.
That one, or
there's something very wrong
that
here.
That one person, it's the same thing as anybody. That one person stands out. Eddie Murphy stood out.
Very much. He has something.
Eddie Murphy stood out. He just stood out. He's beyond all the. I know the shop that he went to And there had to be at least 30, 40 guys going to that shop all the time.
Wow.
And then he stood out.
That's amazing.
That place in New York that hosted hundreds of performers, and only about 5 came out of there. These people stand out. These people don't. Somebody's got it. Somebody's always got it. Some people are going to try to get it. Matter of fact, look at you ever seen the movie Amadeus?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great movie.
That's a great movie because it tells you something. Yeah. Here's a guy who feels he was born to write music. Here's a guy who's an idiot who plays music. Okay. He was so jealous of Mozart, he didn't know what to do. Because Mozart, and he knew Mozart was good.
Mm-hmm.
He felt it. He says, oh my God, it's great. And he couldn't, now he wants to destroy him.
I think that's actually a sign you don't have it.
Yeah.
I think if you see people who have it and you get really jealous, I think that's something in your soul telling you don't have it.
Exactly.
Because if on some level you thought you had it, you wouldn't feel jealous because you're like, oh, if I work, that's inspiration.
Ah,
that's available to me.
I have lots of students who do that.
Yeah.
They come over and they want to know, and right off the bat, without putting in the work or time, they all say, can you help me get in the castle?
That's what they want.
Every place I've ever worked, they want to work.
Yeah.
I says, listen, I would love to just say, hire this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got one problem. You're going to get on the stage and you're going to bomb. So how can I do that?
Yeah.
I already know you're going to bomb because I've seen you work. And even though you know how to do this trick, my God, it's like watching paint dry. it's the worst. It's the feeling that I don't want to watch this anymore. And just like when I start my lecture, I start off by saying, listen, how many people here can do 15 minutes of magic? Then I say, how many people can do 15 minutes of entertainment magic? Nobody's hand goes down. See, everyone believes they can
do it.
Right. It can't be true. Yeah. How many people know somebody here who sucks? But they're not here, are they? The guys who suck are never here. They're right next to you. You don't even realize it. Everybody can't do this.
I wish they could,
but everybody can't do this. Everybody can't be Lucy Dollar. And I've never seen, and I can tell you right now, I can count on a few hands less than any female that I've ever seen that I truly enjoy. Okay, and the night I saw you was the night I said, oh,
ow.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah,
because see, here's what impresses me. It was 10 minutes on the stage and you hadn't did a trick yet. That was a moment I said, that's what I'm talking about. She just being herself. She's being personal. And look at they're eating it up. If they're eating it up, what if she do a trick? God knows. What if she throws a trick in here once in a while? Then she says, maybe I ought to do a trick. What do y'all think?
No. Ah. The rooms I kill in the hardest are where they don't really know they're seeing a magician.
Yeah.
So I come out and they're like, oh, he's a pretty good stand-up. And then I do a trick and they just go, what? Wait, what?
Right. And we didn't change them to something totally different.
Yeah, they melt.
And the outfit, the whole thing. And just the attitude was just fantastic.
Well, thank you so much.
That is the best I've seen. And I've seen lots.
I can't compliments my brain
no,
when
no,
I explode.
No, you can pay me now.
Perfect.
She's passing me money.
$100 for you. Just one more thing before we go. One of the things you said in your lecture that I loved was this idea that you just tell people what to do and they do it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think part of what I was waiting for you to say, but I think you were implying it, but you didn't say it, is that, yes, but you are so clear in your instructions.
Yes.
When you tell someone what to do and they do it, you're telling people what to do. You don't give them like a list of instructions. You tell them something that's one step.
Right.
And very clear and very specific.
Make sure it's exactly what you want done. You did it on your show I saw. You didn't, when you were talking to the men, you didn't always say, it's nice to have that please and thank you thing. But in the entertainment world, it's a little different. People like to be entertained. They like to be controlled. And say, just watch stand-up comedians. Stand-up comedians don't say, would you please come here? Could you do me a favor? Can you do this? See, it's so polite, it becomes boring.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Don Rickles. He just turns around and the guy says, hey, stop. I don't come to your house. Sit down. You know, it's the way he controls the people.
Yeah.
And they laugh. And they're laughing.
And they love it.
All those comedians, they talk and they laugh. I'm saying, look, you just throw a little bit at him. You got to be abusive.
Yeah. I mean, Ken Weber in his book talks about how you have to like greet people when they come on stage and you have to say thank you when they sit down. And I remember reading that and thinking, I disagree.
Because
I think if you're a middle of the road, boring, normal person, but
exactly.
if you when you figure out who you are, you've got to figure out your own way
exactly.
define that.
And there's a way of doing it where you're not being abusive.
Or totally.
But you don't want it to be boring. And boring is to be like you're Mr. Rogers doing magic. You don't want to be Mr. Rogers
doing magic. We've already got 15 of those.
Right. You know, because I remember the days when he used to give the little kid a certificate. See, that's fine in 1935, but not there. Today, kids got too much. They got their cell phone, but everything's on that phone. Mm-hmm. God knows what's on that phone. You don't want to know sometimes. So the kid knows everything.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. That's what messes everything up because they're Googling stuff like crazy right there. They know what a thumb tip is. They know everything. So you got to go a different direction, you know, and it works. You just got to really, really want to do it. Kids are very easy, but they're not going to want to see just your card. You pick out a card. You find your card. You're done. Because we all going to find a card.
Yep. Y'all know we're going to find a card, to quote you.
We will find your card. You'll find your card.
What's the point of losing it in the first place? That's a question.
It's funny when somebody else says it to me. Why did you lose it?
I'm just doing your lines now. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
I was very happy coming.
It's so great. It's going to be so valuable for people.
This has been a great, great experience for the next 4 days. Yeah. And now I'm going back home to my wife and my dog. And I really miss that dog.
I would too. Thank you.
Okay.
Shazam is sponsored in part by the Society of American Magicians. Thank you, SAM. Go join a club.